to lift you up, to tell you how much we need you, that we are desperate in our situations of life, and we've tried on our own so many times, God. And every time we tried, we seemed to fail. But God, when we rest in you, and we trust in you, we lean upon you instead of our own understanding, Lord. We seem to find this place in our very lives that is the best place to be. It's our joy this morning to honor you, Lord. It's our joy to honor you, to honor you, to honor you, to honor you. So God, this morning, Lord, even though some people like myself, Lord, that have lost some sleep, but God, we're not going to let the flesh dictate to us. We're going to let the Spirit of God rise up within us, Lord. This morning, we're going to praise you. We're going to worship you. We're going to tell you that we honor you. We honor you. It's our joy to honor you. So we thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you. We ask that you would just meet every need here this morning. Touch every life. Touch those who are going through financial problems. Touch those who are going through health difficulties. Touch those who are going through family problems, marriage problems. God, we know this is life. It's life that happens around us. It happens to us. But God, we need you. So God, through all those things that we face in life, it's our joy to honor you. It's our joy to honor you. It's our joy to honor you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. God, I pray that let your word touch our hearts this morning. God, let us find freedom in you. Let us find that place in you, Lord. God, that we rest, hiding underneath the shadow of your wings. Lord, we know that we find rest in that place. So God, as we go to your word now, I pray that you lead us, guide us. Let us understand fully what you want to say to us, every one of us. We ask all these things in the wonderful, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God. You may be seated. Kids can come to Sunday school. Good to have you here today. Amen. Welcome to church. We're glad you're here. And I put this down at the bottom, and we are not ashamed to call it church. Amen. Not ashamed to call it church. A lot of people say that the church is gone, it's a thing of the past, it's no longer relevant. There's all kinds of things that people would tell us out there in the world, but we know how important church is to us. That's the body of Christ. Amen? Body of Christ. Hallelujah. I saw this interesting quote in my devotional last week, and I just wanted to put it up there for you because it's really significant, I really believe, in the ways that you and I are living in. And it says this: we cannot make another person a Christian. We can do much through our words, our actions, a love to give him or her a chance to respond. So look for opportunities to bring your friends to the living Christ. Now, when I saw that, bring your friends, of course we want to get our friends, but if we were to take that and say, only friends? What about the guys and the girls at work that don't treat me right? What about the people across the way that shovel the snow in my driveway? What about people that, you know, do all kinds of mean things and persecute me and revile me and all kinds of things? I would say, you know, rule out friends or include in there enemies or combatants or whatever you want to put in there. But I think that every last person around us, we should be reaching out to them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So never give up, never get tired of those kinds of things. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John? John chapter 8. John chapter 8. How many know that we are living in last days? I realize that every day in my life. I realize it as I look in the world, as I turn on the news, as I find all the things that are in events that are happening around us in this world, I realize that we are getting closer and closer to the time when Jesus is going to come. The trumpet of God will sound, and we
who are alive and remain, if you believe, will be caught up together with them in the air. Amen? Just something that kind of tipped me off to the last days. I don't know if any of you saw this or not, but California would like to ban boys and girls' toy clothing sections under a new bill. In other words, when you walk into a store, the items are usually listed, boys' items here and girls' listed over there, but they want to do away with that because they figure that's not gender inclusive. And so they would like to take that away. And so they would like to also take toys, like, you know, toys for girls over here, toys for boys over here. They just want to make it all one compact area. So, you know, if you, being a Christian, have a little girl came into your house and you wanted to go down to the clothing store, you would have to go through all the boys and girls and everything else to try and find what you want. And maybe they would not even have them like that. I don't know, but, you know, so I looked at this and I saw this because they said this new bill in the California State Assembly would ban stores from separating their toys, clothing, and child care items into boys and girls sections and would fine them $1,000 if they did so. Wow. I looked at that and, you know, everybody remember the case with the Christian fellow who made the cakes? And didn't want to put the two guys on top, and he got into all kinds of hot water. We're going to see people, Christians, who have stores, standing up for the Lord and realizing God created the male and female. You know, and we want to separate them as the kids' clothing and so forth, and going back and forth. And as I looked at this, it's kind of like, you know, you say, oh, that's California. What happens in California doesn't stay in California. It seems to transpire into other areas. You know, oh, California's good. We should do it. You know, and you know, the stupidity of some of the governments out there, well, it's working fine over there. Maybe we should try it in our state or our province or our city or whatever. And I tell you, as I read these kind of things, I feel for children today. I feel for the kids, you know. When I was in school, it was so simple. So simple. You went, guys, girls. That's all there was. You know, there wasn't any in between. I can't remember any in between. Boys and girls, all it was. But today, I believe that we throw a lot of confusion into our children. I mean, they just, you know,
I learned how to talk today. I learned my alphabet. What sex am I?
So you start throwing these things out and giving them paraphernalia and you know, all kinds of documentation and telling them and take this young child that really knows nothing about sexual orientation, this young age, or transgender or LGBTQ or anything else. I'm looking at our kids these days. What must go through their minds? The confusion, the idiocy of what we are seeing in our world today and what is being projected as normal in our world. And all right. So as I look at all this, you know, it's really weird. I don't know, but I just keep looking for stuff. It's real. The world believes that they are free. They believe that they are free because they want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. And they understand for themselves that that is freedom when they get into that. You know, we like taking our dog up to the dog park. And, you know, for dogs, when you put them on a leash, they feel restrained. And they tug on the leash at times. And of course, anybody who comes into this church, Bailey, when he comes in, grabs on the leash and carries it around. I don't know if that's trying to tell us, you can't have it anymore. I've got it. You can't hold me back or whatever. But anyway, when we take him up to the dog park, there's this big fenced-in area, and we take the leash off, and it's like you can see the smile on his face. You know, that he's ready to run and tear and do whatever he wants in that dog park, and he's free. So for a dog, and for people in this world right now, they're thinking about the freedom that they can have because they can do anything they want anytime they want. We as Christians know that that's not freedom. That's bondage to the world system. That's enslaving us to follow after what someone else is doing We read the Word of God, and we know what the Word says to us about freedom. You know, I in my emails every week, you can do this, Webster's Dictionary, they can email you the word for the day. They'll give you the word for the week. They'll give you words that are kind of common in our vocabulary these days. But they sent me this one word this week is filch. F-I-L-C-H. Filch. Anybody know what filch means? Pardon me? A seal.
To steal?
She's an amazing secretary. Filch means to steal secretly. To steal secretly. Or to steal casually. And that's why I looked at that word and I said, we're in the filch times. Things are filching all around us. The enemy's stealing. The enemy's taking the school system, the government system. He's taking everything around us. And filch, as I looked at that, to steal secretly. Well, I wonder if it's maybe even openly these days, or you know, it's no longer casual. But as I thought about the word, I believe the enemy is really stealing all around us and taking in our world. Everything that God has laid out as precious to us, everything that is in the Word of God that is concise and everything else, the enemy is saying, no, you can't believe that. Take that out. Don't believe this. Run away from that. And trying to discontinue the Word of God in our very world. But I believe that everything God's Word has laid out for us is for our protection, because God knows what's lurking on the streets out there. And when we have our leash on our dog, we're walking down the street, we know that there's cars, traffic all over the place, and we need to keep them beside us because some people just don't know how to drive up there. Amen? So all the unrest and the sexual promiscuity and the so-called freedom, the world likes to uncover more and more of this stuff all around us, yet all the while, the world is getting further away from God. Further away from God. But they call it freedom. They call it freedom. So could I take you into a portion of scripture today in John chapter 8? I'd like to talk about freedom today. I think that perhaps this is a word that is not fully understood in the kingdom of the Lord. And I think that we would be a lot more freer if we understood the depth of this word and the depth of the word of God around this word to let us get into that place of freedom in our lives. So I want you to listen to this, because this is on John chapter 8, and you'll see that I've underlined a portion of scripture that I'm sure that many of us have used and quoted and stated somewhere in the portion of our life. But I'll get to that in a moment. John chapter 8, beginning verse 30, says, as he spoke these words, that's Jesus speaking, many believed in him. Thank God. Thank God. But Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, they answered him, we are of Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, why is it that some people, when they get saved, they still have a little bit of stuff that they hold on to that they used to have before the cross, and after the cross, they still got that. Some people still go around cussing and swearing. Some people still go around drinking. Some people go around smoking. And those are kind of the small sins, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, would be top 10 of all those things people still are in some form of bondage to. And as I look at this word free, I wonder if for us as Christians, do we really understand the word freedom when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we walking in that kind of freedom in our lives? I mean, Jesus alluded here to the Pharisees and the leaders and the Jewish people that they were bound. They were bound. But he was coming to them. If they would only hear the word of God that Jesus is speaking to them, if they could only open up their ears and their hearts and their minds and their lives to what he's saying right now, Jesus is declaring to them, you can be free. You can be absolutely, totally free. But the odd thing about this is that as I looked at these verses here, they stated, oddly, they have never been in bondage. Did you read that? We are of Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free? I somehow think that they forget the word of God. Did they forget about the nation of Israel, 400 years of slavery under the great taskmaster of Egypt? Did they forget about all those things in the Old Testament? Did they forget about them taken off into captivity in Babylon and being made slaves? And we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We read about Daniel. We read about how they had to bow down to statues. We read about how they had to sing their songs. We read about all those things that they went through. And these guys were standing up and saying, no, we've never been in bondage. I don't know if that was a personal thing or looking back, but I mean, when they say Abraham's seed, they must have been looking back all the way. Did they forget the scriptures? I mean, 400 years of bondage in Egypt and all the way down. And here they are, even at the crucifixion of Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus, but they couldn't do it. They had to go to the Roman authorities. So they were still under bondage. What's wrong with these people? Don't they know what slaves are? Don't they know what bondage is? Don't they know what being a slave to sin is? If there was ever any action to be taken by Jesus, it was by the Roman government. Was Jesus really stating here, in a sense, maybe it wasn't freedom from the world system around them, and that's all they were thinking about, perhaps. But Jesus was talking about a different freedom that they could have in their lives. See, Jesus didn't come as expected. We know a lot of scriptures were talking about it. Now are you going to take authority over the Romans? Now are you going to come and you're going to usher in your kingdom? Now it's going to be a big fight, isn't it? But we're going to win. And they expected that. They expected Messiah to come into the world and to take over all those things and to put everybody under that rule, and that God would reign supreme and it would be the ultimate of all freedoms. And so that's what they were focused on. That's what their eyes were on. You know, in our Christian living experience, we dwell in a sense of continual, ongoing, never-failing freedom. Isn't that right? As Christians, you and I are walking in a continual, ongoing, never-failing experience of God's freedom in our lives. Isn't that wonderful? Are you okay? Did you lose an hour of sleep last night? You seem very quiet this morning. Do you remember when you gave your heart to Jesus? Did you give your heart to Jesus? If you did give your heart to Jesus, I want you to understand this. What was it that you sensed at that moment? What was it that you felt, that was this overwhelming feeling when you called upon the name of the Lord, when we realized this is what the Bible tells us to do? What was the feeling that you had at that very moment to go through all that? Because I really believe that this is what happens, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that his God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart one believes that the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So maybe at that very moment we said, Jesus, come into my heart. Maybe we didn't call it freedom. Maybe we didn't have the words to put around it. But that moment we sensed a feeling of, I'm different. I'm sensing a feeling like something has changed here. Something has moved me from there to move me to here. That we've got this feeling that I'm no longer the same guy I used to be on that side of that confession for the Lord Jesus Christ. That in this moment, that when I confess Jesus Christ, something happened to me and I feel totally different.
Amen.
It's not what it's like in salvation. I trust that you felt that. I sure did. We're no longer the same. You know, salvation is hard to explain, isn't it? Try to say that to somebody. What do you mean, salvation? They'll ask. It's hard to explain. But what Jesus says here in John chapter 8 is when the Son sets you free, you are going to be free. There's no if or anything else. You are going to be free.
Amen.
This isn't talking about receiving the key to the city. You know how some people, they feel that, you know, when you get the key to the city, you're a dignitary and you're honored, and so usually a mayor or somebody would stand up and hand you the key of the city, and you take that key. Well, you won't take that key because it's usually 3 feet long. You'll leave it there. It's kind of like a significant thing that they're giving to you that kind of shows you this is what they're installing upon you, that you get the key to the city. But the key to the city is like, go anywhere in our city. They will greet you. Perhaps you'll even get some free things, and maybe they won't charge you in the stores. Maybe Walmart will let you pass through the line. I don't know. Maybe you can go to a hotel. They won't charge you for the hotel, because we want you to understand, we want you in our city, and we're giving you the key to the city. It unlocks a lot of things for you. Well, this isn't what Jesus was talking about. He didn't want to get them to feeling like they were walking up and down the streets and that they had the key to the city, and that everywhere you went, people were applauding you, and you walked into a store and it's no charge, or you could ride the transit free. No, it's not like that at all, because when the Son sets you free, it's a freedom that begins now to work in your life. From that moment on, that you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, at that very moment, in the very sense that you're going to be saved. But you'll no longer have to be involved in what you were involved in before. Somebody say amen?
Amen.
You'll be no longer involved when you're in Jesus in what you were involved in before. You'll say goodbye to those things. If somebody is your friend and used to sit around, smoke dope or shoot up or something like that, I would say don't hang around with those guys anymore. You don't want to be under that influence. You want to make sure that you put yourself in the place. That's why I believe in church. When we walk into church, we're around people that, yeah, we're struggling. Yeah, we're going through all of our hang-ups and abilities in life that we see around us, and the fights go on and everything else in the very spirit realm. But we're on the winning side.
Amen.
We're on the winning side, and we want to win with the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God. You know, the pressure of this world is so intense upon us. It's wild up there. They want us in the church to mirror everything they do. How come the church is not for that? How come they're always against that? How come they're speaking out against that? How come they won't join us in the march? How come they won't say the same words that we're saying? They often look at us because the world up there wants us to mirror everything that they do up there. You know, if you don't believe in aborting babies, you are wrong. That's the way they look at us. If you don't believe in aborting babies, you're wrong. If you don't believe in alcohol and the freedom that you get in alcohol, you're a prude. Anybody know what a prude is, eh? I remember a few years ago, I remember the place in Campbellford, Ontario. We sat down with a bunch of ministers of all different denominations. And I'm sitting there, and Pentecostal pastor, and remember who it was, looked at me and said, "So, are you Pentecostals free yet?" Thought it was. I said, "Explain yourself. What do you mean free?" He said, "Like, you know, can you have the occasional drink?" "Oh, can you?" And they start listing off all the things. I said, so you do that, and because I don't do it, I'm not free. And because you do it, you're free." I think we've got something mixed up here. I think we've got something mixed up. You know, a lot of people, even pastors and leaders in churches these days, are seeing the way of the world and starting to mirror the things of the world. I tell you, I want to stand against the things that are going on around us in this world. I mean, if you don't go along with the LGBTQ group, then you are homophobic. On and on, you can go on here, and the list goes on that the world says is freedom, but the church is trying to enslave us in the world, they say. But we're saying, no, this is freedom in Jesus. We're trying to give it to you so you understand what true freedom is all about. That's what we're trying to get across to them. And even in our churches, what was once was called wrong and shouldn't be done is now creeping into our churches and our affiliations. We see people starting to, well, we need to evaluate this. as the social things going on, well, the word filch, steal secretly, or casually, I think is true. Even Christians these days are beginning to change their minds on certain issues of our day. They're starting to rethink these things out of their minds, and so many things were once taboo, and according to our understanding of what the Bible says, I think it's a clear picture of what God is telling us. I don't think it's a shady area at all. You know, we don't hear much from verses anymore of this kind of preaching here. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the church of Corinth. And what accord is Christ with Belial? In other words, with another satanic way. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then you get into the next chapter 7 in 2 Corinthians, and he goes on in the first verse, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? Did you know, and I put this down at the bottom here, the very first sermon preached by a spirit-filled person by the name of Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said this. I mean, it's a beautiful sermon. We've looked at that in our Acts study and looking at the sermon of Peter. But as you look at some of the words that he said, but I love this. I just kind of pulled out verse 40. You go home and read the whole sermon because it's Excalibur. It's above all these things. But if you go and you read Acts chapter 2, verse 40, here's Peter standing up and preaching to all these people. And by the way, 3,000 got saved that day. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. Well, if it was perverse back then, and everybody's walking around in togas, and they didn't have any internet, or didn't have anything back then, if that was perverse, I wonder what it is in 2020. I wonder how far into sin has gone, and the depth of all the stuff around it that has gone. You know, then you project yourselves into the future, okay? You do that? If this isn't back to the future, but just hear from the book of Revelations for a moment, because if you go into the book of Revelations, it tells you what's going to unfold in the last days. And it's going to tell you all these things that are happening. Listen to this. Revelations chapter 18, verse 1 says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons and prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of their luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and as God has remembered her iniquities. Wow. I think God's trying to get across an idea to us that we shouldn't be walking the ways of the world. We should be walking in the freedom that Jesus gave us. Jesus, God, has saved, washed us in his blood, cleansed us, brought us into a relationship with the Father. And I think that we should be saying, God, is this right for a Christian to do this? I've done it before, but is it right? And we need to pray over things these days. You know, I, as a pastor, I want to make sure I toe the line in many ways. And I've always looked at, you know, things that are controversial. You know what I mean? Things that, Christians can still, then maybe they shouldn't. Well, hey, there's an argument going back and forth. That this pastor's not going to be there. Okay? You know, this is the way it is. I can remember one time in Mohawk Church that we were going to a lady, one of the native people was being assigned to, I don't know if it was a judge's position, one of the first Native Indigenous people judge in the nation of Canada. And it was a big to-do. They had all the dignitaries in there, and they had a big party, and they had all the wine glasses all set up there and everything else. And so I walked over and I said, "Did you have some ginger ale?" I took one of those wine glasses and put ginger ale in it. I'm walking around like this, and the photographers are all over the place. And I'm walking around, and somebody said to me, "Pastor, I don't know if you should be walking around with that ginger ale and a wine glass. Somebody, when they get the picture in the newspaper, might get the wrong idea." Good thing, yes. So I try to keep myself out of everything. It's kind of like that time in Havelock. You know, we had a real move of God in Havelock, and people used to throw beer bottles at our church. And they would throw, we had witches up in Havelock go around, and they left all their paraphernalia on the four corners of our church property, and they cast all kinds of curses and things on the church up there. I used to go there, get rid of that curse, just kind of stomp on it, put it under the dirt and everything else. But then I go around and pick up these beer bottles. And this one time I picked up a beer bottle, I'm standing there, and one of the prisoners drives around the corner and waves, "Hi, Pastor! Hi!" So, you know, it's how do you collect beer bottles without people getting the wrong idea? I went to bag real fast, just take the bag or something like that. I don't know. I just want to make sure that we are living so far away from the world that nobody second guesses us and says, "Well, they are, or they did, or whatever." No, I didn't. Let's stand clean and pure and holy before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Nobody falling asleep yet? I wonder, us as Christians over the years, from when I got saved in 73 to where we are now, have we as Christians somehow lost our way? It's happened to us at times. Some of the changes in the course of our life. Have we succumbed to the pleasures of the world? Have we bought into the system out there of the enticement and the bribery from the enemy? And I think of this word freedom. In the depth of the word freedom, I believe it's something we all need. Something we all need. Because somewhere in our spirits we crave it, but sometimes, not many times, our flesh keeps on getting sidetracked and the flesh keeps enjoying it up there. And now we've got to battle the flesh. You know what I mean when I say that, don't you? Now, I've been studying this word freedom from its concept in the New Testament. Of course, you can't exclude the Old Testament, the word freedom as well. But the whole Bible, it just radiates. It radiates the freedom that God has planned since the beginning of time. You know, Adam and Eve, I look back there and said, what's wrong with those people? They went and sinned in the Garden of Eden. Why did they do that? They had such freedom. I mean, they sat in the garden, they walked in the garden, they planted the seeds in the ground. God was bringing animals around. So Adam, what do you call this one? Oh, it's got a long neck. A giraffe. And he would call the animals names, and a lot of these things. It must have been a wonderful time. Such freedom. That here comes God. Let's talk to him today. And walk with him and enjoy that. It was beautiful. You go through that, and they lost out of that fellowship with him, that freedom, right from the Adam and Eve all the way down right to the end of our Bible, where we again, at the end of our book of Revelation, where it says we're going to be with God in that new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Forever.
Hallelujah.
No longer enticed by the world. The old enemy, he's going to be in the bottomless pit. There'll be no more draw, filching on us. There'll be nothing like that. We'll be in freedom, freedom, freedom. So I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but it's where God wants us. That's why he sent his son. That's where God wants us. He wants us to live day by day. Day by day. Three things, oh Lord, I pray. You've heard those things. You sing it really good. Give me day by day. Come on. You know who I mean. Julie. Day by day. Come on.
Day by day.
That sounds nice. She's got nice. Three things I pray to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly. Freedom. 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 Come on, say that word.
Freedom.
Say it again.
Freedom.
Freedom. Hallelujah. When we got saved, you saved here today?
Amen.
Good. When we got saved, we got free.
Amen.
I mean, that's a simple way to put it, but we often quote Ephesians chapter 2. And it's a wonderful portion of Scripture. I love it. And it's a beautiful portion of Scripture. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, the word free or freedom is nowhere to be seen in that those two verses of Scripture. But there is a very strong implication that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, things change. And the strong implication is here that you couldn't save yourself. You couldn't turn your circumstances around. You couldn't do anything about what was happening in the world. But by grace, you've been saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen? I'm reading about in the Old Testament, my daily reading. I've been reading about Moses in the Old Testament. He kept going up at Mount Sinai and fasting for 40 days. In fact, he did it two times, no bread, no water. That's what the Bible says. 40 days on Mount Sinai. I guess he was getting something from God that was sustaining the body. They say that the body can't last any more than 3 days without any water in it. So for him to be up on the mountain for 40 days, you know what sustains us? God. God sustains us. Here he was way up in the mountain, he's coming down from the mountain, and the word of God says his face glowed, just shone, and the people were, what's that? UFO? No, it's not a UFO. People were feared what was taking place with Moses, and so Paul even talked about that in his letter in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Now, this is not talking about the veil that they put over Moses' face. He talks about a veil that lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know what that means? That freedom comes in. The veil is taken away. When they weren't with God, the veil was over their head. This veil was not covering the glow on the face. This veil was covering the glow coming into the face and the freedom that comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Isn't that wonderful? Do we desire more freedom in our lives? You got enough freedom yet? Anybody need more freedom? That's it, Betty. Finish. They don't need any more freedom. Come on, anybody need any more freedom than what you got? You want to keep working on it and say, God, I'm not there yet. There's something bugging me in my life, something that's holding me down, something that's really getting in the way of me really following you. I mean, if we're honest, at least some of the people raised their hand on the second Paul.
Yeah, you get it.
And that's the way the freedom battles in our life. I think I do. Freedom, it's a battle. Today, you and I are in a battle. We're in a battle. I mean, on and on it goes. It's, you know, I'm just introducing this subject, you know, but I want to do, and I've been really praying over this. I'm beginning today. This is an introduction to the word freedom. But I want to get into some spiritual warfare. I want to get into something that we're really battling in our life. And I'm covering some things that perhaps are hindering spirits and things that are keeping us from being fully what God wants us to be. I believe that if the church was really free, that it would explode. Like people outside would just say, what was that happening over the church last week? Fire. I heard in the old days fire above the roofs of churches. Like the Holy Ghost was moving so much that the windows would be open, the singing would be gone, and they wouldn't go from 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning to 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. they would start at 10 o'clock and they would keep going. Let's take a break. Well, let's come back in. Let's go again. Let's keep going. Till midnight or so, they would keep going. When we got to the Mohawk Church down by Deseron and went there, like they used to tell me about the days back in the 30s and the 40s where they just, they were going all day long. And I know some people say, well, Pastor, I work, you know, I can't do this. They were pig farmers. They were cattle farmers. They ran after they milked the cow over to Peter's barn on the reserve, and they would have church till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they'd go home, get a few hours sleep, something like what I had last night, and then wake up in the morning, work with the pigs, slop the pigs, get the cows in, milk the cows, do all those things, and then they'd run for more church service, and they used to tell me it went on for 7 days a week. I used to hear all the stories from back then. I used to sit there with the hair on the back of my neck going up because I was listening to old-time Pentecost, Holy Ghost people talking about what was going on back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. I can remember back in those days, one of the native people told me that, you know, we woke up in the morning, the fire had gone out in our stove. It was 30 below. The kids were freezing. You could almost see the breath of your air, like going through in the air as we were breathing. And it was so cold in there. And I walked over. I was looking for the matches, a lighter, anything I could find. There was nothing there. It was cold in the house. He said, I got down on my knees. I said, God, we don't have fire. Don't have a spark. Nothing in that stove. I pray, God, ignite it right now in the name of Jesus. And poof, the kids were all sitting there with their eyes bugging out, looking at that fire starting up in the stove there, because the Holy Ghost was moving back in those days, and they were sincerely free people, worshiping God and loving God and taking time for Him 7 days a week, and God was honoring them and blessing them. Hallelujah. But it's a battle today. Could you come to church for a couple hours? Well, I don't know. I've got something else on Sunday morning. You on fire for Jesus? So I'm waiting on the Lord to really get into some spiritual warfare. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
You know, one of the portions of scripture that I really have difficulty with are Romans chapter 7, where Paul is doing this dance back and forth. And you may wonder what I'm talking about. Let me explain it for you. And see if you can understand it, okay? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for the will is the present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me.
Amen.
Anybody get that? You see the struggle? This is Paul. Saul that was changed to Paul, and he was going to be a light to the Gentiles. This is Paul, writer of many of our gospel, or the epistles in the New Testament. This is Paul speaking about the battle that was going on in his life. And we can sit here and say, well, I'm okay, Pastor. I don't have any struggles. Nothing's happening in my life. I'm perfect. Wow. Like, just in case you didn't understand what he was saying, let me go to the New Living Translation. It may make it a little bit more clear for us here what Paul is saying. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual good. The trouble is with me. For I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I believe that Paul wanted to get freedom. When I read these words of Paul, the place that we all fall into this life, all of us fall into this place in our life, the draw of the flesh, the battle that goes on. We've got to get closer to Jesus. God said, God help me. I need more freedom. I need more freedom. This is a pastor's heart crying out that too. This isn't just for you, it's for me, because I'm sensing the same thing. But you know, when I came to Jesus back in 72, I was a little bit stronger in so many ways, but the influence of all the ways of the world, I believe for me, I've gone down a little bit in my life. I should take that out of a little bit. I've gone down in my life. I think we all got down in our lives. But in life, if we care to admit it, if we're man and woman enough to admit it, that we've lost some of the stuff we had over the years. The world has influenced us too much. It's done too much in our lives. No, I believe that too many Christians battle this kind of stuff that Paul is talking about. And the sad thing is, when they battle this stuff, there's losing going on. Losing. And then they go through all the guilt trips. And I face all this stuff. And I've heard all the excuses. And, well, Pastor, if I do that, I'm a hypocrite. And singles say, well, I don't want to live like this. And then they stop going to church. Then they stop reading the Bible. They stop doing all the things that will promote us to the winning side. We stop doing all the things that are going to get us closer to freedom in our lives. I mean, you cut yourself off from the Word of God. You cut yourself off from prayer. You cut yourself off from all the things that go on in the house of God. You cut yourself off from fellowship with other Christians. And I tell you, you will slide even further back than what you were before. You need to get in here and say, God, help me. I'm a sinner. I need help.
Amen.
I need more freedom. I need to get back closer and closer to the winning side. You know, when we fall prey to sin, don't stop reading God's Word.
Amen.
Don't stop reading it. Don't stop praying.
Amen.
It's going to help you in that turmoil, that trouble, and that struggle in your life, because these are all the tools that God has given us to get us into the freedom that He wants to ignite in our hearts. He's given us His Word. He's given us the conversation we can have with Him. He's given us the fellowship of the saints. He's given us all these things. These are tools to make us stronger.
Amen.
And give us more freedom in our lives. Amen. You want to be free? The prayer of Jesus last week that we talked about, we looked at the last few verses. I want to take you back there because I noticed this portion of the prayer of Jesus that was really important. Listen to this. This is Jesus praying to the Father. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you. And they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you. You have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. Father, you've given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. Protect them by your power.
Praise Jesus.
I want to be protected by the power.
Yeah.
Jesus is praying over us right now to get protected by the power. Amen. That was his prayer. God wants us protected. God wants us into freedom. God wants to get us into that place of deeper in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Did you know that dogs give you all kinds of stories? Yeah. I like those things that I get emails and 10 signs that you know that your dog loves you. I need to confirm this, but it's all go through the way they look at you, the way they go in the belly, you can rub the belly. If they climb in the bed, if you not. All these signs of dog loves you. But you, dogs are your friend, your best friend. I don't know if anybody read about the tornadoes down in Tennessee. and the destruction that happened because of, I was reading about an article about this one man that, in fact, he was a pastor, but his dog saved them. They were in the house, they didn't know anything was going on, the dog started barking because the wind was kicking up and their bounce. They were able at the last moment to get down in their basement in the house, and the house was picked up. They said the next thing they knew, all their family were clutching together and they were looking at grass. The house was picked right up and they were on all fours on grass somewhere outside. But they looked around for the dog and they couldn't find the dog, and they felt heartbroken because the dog warned them and they ran to the basement just in time. You know, dogs are man's best friend. They love us so very much. You know, Betty and I, we had an interesting thing happen last Sunday, and I'm going to close with this, okay? Do you like stories?
Amen.
Do you like true stories? This Amen. Is true. Betty and I can verify this true story. Now, last week, remember I put up here all the best things that happened last week? We had a good week, you know, the annual business meeting, prayer night, Betty's birthday, and you know, we had a great time Sunday morning. Wow, it was a good time at church here. Like, I was just floating. This pastor, I could hardly touch the floor. It was a real good week, a real good Sunday. I was just going through all the blessings, and somebody in the church asked if we would come out for lunch on Sunday. They wanted to bless Betty, and on her birthday, I said, by all means, bless Betty. So anyway, we went out and got blessed at Betty's birthday, and we had a real good time, and so it just, I was head up. Then we get home and say, oh, there's a nice little guy. Let's take him over to the dog park. So we went over to the dog park with our dog, and we saw this gentleman out in the field with us. He's got two Labrador retrievers. Of course, ours is a bull, retriever and poodle. And so anyway, we know that they've been together before. They get along, so we put the dog out there. But this fellow owns the three dogs, two Labrador retrievers, and he's got this little 6-inch high thing, which I think is his precious. Look at that dog, it's mine. It's kind of like, you know, you have your favorites of the dogs. This little dog, 6 inches high, 6 inches high, was his favorite. And now Bailey, he has destroyed balls. No, he ate a ball one time. Well, this is an interesting story, because have you ever seen those balls with the holes in them and everything else? So he's lying to me. And anyway, Betty had it in the office here one day, and she noticed that half the ball was gone. Now, the fun part is, you're hoping that will go through,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, for the next few days, Betty and I were to see if it was going through. And sometimes we couldn't see him. It was nice because it was lime green. You can see it with the ground. So it kind of sticks out. Other times we weren't sure, so when we put it in the bag here. You've got it too. So anyway, that's what we were doing. Anyway, so we do not give our dog balls. Now, 6-inch high little dog had a ball in his mouth. Okay? This thing probably weighed maybe 8 pounds, 9 pounds, something like that. Bailey weighs 52. Okay, he saw a ball, fixated on the ball. Okay. Now, as I said, we've talked to this gentleman before. He seemed like a real nice guy. We had conversations. I think this is the third time we've met him out at the dog park. Nothing's ever happened before. But anyway, Bailey saw the ball and got fixated on it and didn't care if the thing was 6 inches tall or 9 pounds or anything else. He wanted the ball. So he ran at that little dog of his, jumped on him. The dog was falling over, but he wouldn't let go of the ball. And I said to the gentleman, I said, you know, it's the ball. It's not that he's trying to attack your dog or like that. And he, all of a sudden, this guy just changed like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And he just the language, the profanity that began to come out of his mouth and say, you dog owners! Now, I won't say what he said, okay? Can't control your dogs, you get out of this park. And he started shouting and yelling, and I'm trying to grab, like the dog's running around, the little one, I'm trying to grab Bailey. I'm trying to see those people. Anyway, I'm trying to get a hold of him, and he's going after the ball, and the little dog's running away from him. I'm running around there, listening to this guy shouting at me and everything else, and trying to get Bailey and get a hold of him. And finally I got him, and he walked towards the gate, and I'm very sore, and all of a sudden he gets away, runs over again, and starts running around the dog. And I was very fearful at that moment that this guy was going to do some damage to Bailey. And so it was really running, diving for Bailey, and this guy all the way up to his car, the yelling and the profanity, everything around this whole situation. I'm sitting there saying, I had a good week. I had a good prayer meeting. Had a good lunch. Had a good service this morning. And all of a sudden, filch. Secretly trying to take away. And like, you know, if I was in the old days, before the cross, there's no way that I would have kept silent. There's no way that I would have, you know, been composed when Betty and I looked at each other and said, well, let's just keep quiet. Let's not commit any more disturbance. So we were thinking our hearts. And we went home that day, you know, feeling, after all the good stuff, down. And I want the freedom to be able to act in those situations. Because remember what Jesus said? If somebody slaps you in the face, turn the other cheek. Yeah. If somebody asks you to go a mile, go two. Blessed are you if you go through all that, be persecuted, reviled, all those kinds of things, and you still hold your ground in Jesus. I didn't want to fight back. And I realized at that very moment, I think freedom's working. I think the freedom's working in my life. And we are all thrust into situations like that in our life time and time again, where you are in the middle of a war zone. You are in the middle of something going on in your family, at the workplace, or whatever. And you've got to decide in a split second how you're going to act or react to those situations. I'm glad that Benny was with me. She probably helped a lot in the situation. The two was just connected because we're both in the same area of spirituality in our lives. Thank God for husbands and wives that are spiritually walking the same level. Amen? Amen. We're two are agreed, and you've got something going on. And it's a blessing for us. Now, I don't know about you, but we are in situations. We need freedom. We need to build on those things because we're in this world. Would the worship team come, please? We need to build on these things. I need more freedom in Jesus. How about you? Would we admit that today?
Amen.
I need more freedom in Jesus. The world goes on. Dog parks go on. Things happen all around us. We better be prepared because if we don't have that freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we haven't been reading the Word of God, if we haven't been getting into the place of God, if we haven't been getting closer and closer to God, that when those things come, we're going to blow it and we're going to say, man, they called me a Christian at work. You know, we've got to stand our ground to Jesus. If we're going to be a Christian, we've got to be a Christian all the way. We've got to go all the way in this thing with freedom. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I pray, God, as I read what you prayed about, Jesus, that we are be protected supernaturally by you watching over us, you talking to the Father, asking Holy Father to protect us. And in that protection, Lord, we find your hand covers us over, and we find ourselves growing. We find ourselves getting a little closer to God. We find ourselves studying the Word of God and finding new truths. We find ourselves finding that deeper love that we were hoping to get more of. We're finding that God, I'm responding in a better way in situations in my workplace. I'm responding better to people who were doing those kinds of things towards me. I find I'm growing in you, Lord. And that's what God wants. He wants us to be a light in this darkness. Wants us to be alike with all that's happening around us in this world right now. So I believe that if I was to ask and you were to genuinely put your hand up, if you wanted more freedom, I would say that just about everybody should put their hand up in this place. Maybe there's some people that are struggling and they are too embarrassed to put their hand up. Maybe there's some people that are going through some real
terrible things. And they just are sitting on the fence right now. And they know that they need that freedom, but they won't do something about it. I'm asking right now, church, would you begin to pray? Because as I engage in this subject of spiritual warfare, we need to see a breakthrough. We need to see a breakthrough of all those things that are the hindering spirits, the things that are trying to keep us from God, the things that are trying to steal away those things that are righteous and good in our lives, that God is trying to grow and get bigger in our lives. So we need to come closer to Him. So Father, I pray, God, that You would wrap us in Your hands, wrap us in Your arms, wrap us in Your love. Because there's some people here this morning that are struggling. Some people are going through battles, Lord. But they need the freedom. 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 We all need it, Lord. There's some that are just trapped right now, Lord. I pray for a loosing in the name of Jesus. I pray for a loosing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Freedom reigns in this place. I don't know if you want to come and spend some time around this altar. Say, God, that's exactly what I need. Just confess it to Him. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Just come. Just come. If you need to, just express your heart before God and whatever words you want to say, just come and say it. Just tell God. Be man or woman enough to come up here and say, God, that's what I need. That's what I need. Praise God. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
not there yet. We're not there yet. We still have some struggles that are overtaking us, and sometimes the struggles are winning, Lord. So God, we need that freedom in Jesus. God, take us, take us, take us deeper. Take us deeper. Take us deeper. We will promise to give you the praise and the honor and the glory along this pathway, because along this pathway there may be hurts. There may be some rough road going along. But God, if we really want that freedom, Lord, we're willing to walk it. We're willing to walk it. So I thank you, God. Thank you for this introduction. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the blessings of drawing together as a body of believers. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you inspire us constantly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Convict us. Convict us. We praise you. We praise you. Now as we leave this church, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for all that's been done in this place today. We give you all the glory, all the praise. We ask these things in that wonderful and glorious name. His name is Jesus. Amen. 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 Say it one more time. Freedom. 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 Amen.
Freedom reigns in Jesus.